letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. Scraps of metal blow past an arrow sign in the desert. They attach to it, becoming a rocket which blasts off in clouds of smoke. Route 1 Entertainment. Netflix presents a Netflix original film. Association with Route 1 Entertainment. Maiden Voyage Pictures production. In association with Ocean Blue Entertainment. Tallulah. In a van, a guy with a tattoo on his hand rolls a cigarette. He looks out of the windshield as he licks the paper. Beer brand signs illuminate the windows of Fitzpatrick's pub nearby. The guy lights his smoke. The guy switches off a radio perched on the dash, and staring at the pub window, he starts the engine. He takes another drag of his cigarette as a young woman sprints out of the pub towards the van and gets in. The van pulls away, chased by an angry crowd.
You can't bet with no money.
You can if you win.
Did you?
No, but I got this.
I got this.
She swigs from a bottle of whiskey. The couple falls into bed, the girl on top. She pulls off her shirt. She's not wearing a bra. Her boyfriend rolls them over so that he's on top. At night, the girl sits in the back of the van with the door open, brushing her teeth. She spits on the ground.
How do you know this stuff isn't old?
They throw it out every 6 hours. It's the law.
She pours water from a bottle onto her toothbrush and looks out at the night.
I want to go to India.
India?
Is that where the Himalayas are? Because I want to climb the Himalayas.
We don't have any money.
No, everybody's poor there. People live with nothing. I saw this picture in a magazine, and this woman, she was sitting in the dirt, and there was, like, trash all around her, and this, like, skinny dog. I mean, she didn't have anything. But she was wrapped in this, like, giant orange and red cloth.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go there.
How are you going to get there?
Drive.
Mm-hmm. You're going to drive?
Underwater.
Right.
All the way across the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna breathe like this.
She crawls toward him and opens her lips for a wide kiss. Clamps her lips over his, and they breathe back and forth. They stop. She lays her head on his chest and shuts her eyes.
We're gonna be pretty dizzy. Mm-hmm.
He kisses her forehead and strokes her hair.
Hey. I love you.
She smiles gently.
I don't want to go to India.
Why not?
I want to go home.
She sits up and stares at him.
This is home.
I mean, real home. I want to lie in Washington Square Park. I want to smoke a joint. I want to see my mom.
Why?
Because it's been 2 years and she's my mom. Like, you can't go to India. It's crazy. You do this all the time. You get these big ideas and then, you know, tomorrow will be something else. Let's do something real.
Like what?
Like get married. Come on. We could get an apartment. I don't know, we'll get jobs. Have babies.
No way.
Look, I'm sick of eating shit out of dumpsters and asking truckers for shower tickets, all right? I can't do it anymore.
Well, this is the way I live, and if you don't like it, then you can get the fuck out.
Come on, Lou, Jesus.
I mean it. Go. Get out of here, then.
I said I love you.
Well, then fucking stop it.
She picks up a pillow and lies with her back to him. He stares at her expressionlessly. Lit by working lamps, an excavator is parked beside a large mound of earth. A cat runs away from the stationary machine. The moon shines brightly through the clouds, and Lou seems upset as she goes to the toilet near the van. She pulls up her pants and trudges back. She peers in the back window, cupping her hands on the glass. She watches her naked, sleeping boyfriend peering through a gap between her thumb and forefinger, which she moves as if pinching his head. Lou tries the door, but it's locked. She keeps pulling on the door, then stares at her feet. She's slowly floating up into the air. Panicking, she clutches the door handle with both hands as her legs float up almost vertically. She lets go and floats up into the night sky. Lou wakes up from the nightmare with daylight streaming into the old van. She sighs with relief that it was just a nightmare, then looks around in alarm. Lou's boyfriend isn't in the van. She goes out the back door and looks around the empty yard where the van is parked, near an old house and a shed. Lou sits with her feet dangling out the back of the van, knitting messily. She watches a goods train rumble by. She's alone. Lou angrily throws her boyfriend's clothes toward the railway tracks.
You say goodbye!
She stands forlornly, barefoot, with one leg of her jeans rolled up. In the driver's seat, she rummages in a chip packet, pulls out a handful of credit cards, and finds a Calder gas card. She puts it to one side and gets underway. Lou drives through woodland, wind billowing through the open windows. There's a small electric hob, dangling ornaments and decor made from plastic beer can ties. At dusk, she crosses the Manhattan Bridge into New York. Music plays from the old radio. The streets of the city are alive with store signs and headlights. She drives past a food market and comes to a halt. The broken badge on the front of the van is adorned with a small plastic goat taped to the stained paintwork. A traffic officer places a ticket under the wiper and looks in the van. Lou wakes up and looks around blearily. She lies back in frustration as she notices the ticket and rummages in an empty chip packet for a scrap to eat. She throws the empty bag away in frustration and walks down a sunny street with a bag slung over her shoulder. She walks through glass doors into an apartment building and approaches a man at a desk.
Hello. How can I help you?
Yeah, I'm here to see Margaret Mooney in 2B.
Mrs. Mooney is in 3F.
Of course, sorry. It's been forever.
Yes.
What's your name?
Manuel.
Manny. Okay. It's a surprise. And I really don't want you to blow it.
Give me one second, okay?
Yeah, of course. You do your thing.
Hey, Tammy. Okay. Stop.
While Manuel is distracted with a courier delivery, Lou dashes off into an elevator. A woman in glasses holding a book opens up.
Who are you?
Are you Mrs. Mooney?
How did you get up here?
My friend Aniko's.
What happened? Is he hurt?
Nothing. No, he's fine. Last that I saw him, I really need to find him.
Well, I can't help you. I haven't seen my son in 2 years.
He took all my money, okay?
Of course he did. And when you see him, tell him to call his mother.
No, wait, please. I really need to find him.
Look, I don't know who you are. I have no reason to believe you know my son.
Come on, man. I have his fucking name tattooed on my hand.
Nico's mom inspects the ink.
So what, you're looking for money? You're not going to get it.
What about like $5?
Oh, my God.
Lou turns dejectedly away from the locked and bolted door. She breezes past Manuel in the small lobby.
She loved it, man. She was really surprised.
You.
Here you go, buddy.
Nico's mom feeds a pet terrapin on a tank.
Here.
Ignoring the phone, she replaces the lid on the tub of food.
It's Steven. I spoke with Larry Daniels. He says you've had the papers for a while now. Look, I don't mean to rush you. Actually, I do mean to rush you. Just give me a call or sign the papers and drop them.
Margot angrily unplugs the phone and flicks the terrapin's tank.
Eat your damn food. Over here, idiot.
Heavy traffic moves slowly down a street. Margot goes down to reception.
Oh, Mrs. Mooney, how are you this afternoon?
Well, I'd be better if strangers weren't allowed up into my apartment.
Yes, of course, I apologize.
No, it's a little late for that. Can I have my mail, please?
Yes, right away. It was a package that came in for Mr. Mooney. I didn't know if you wanted
it. I'll take it. Thank you.
Margot eyes Manuel coldly as he retrieves the mail.
My husband still lives here.
Okay.
I've lived in this apartment for 18 years, and I don't want a problem with the university. I'm not asking you to be dishonest, just discreet.
That would be a violation of the doorman code.
Of course, I'm sorry.
I'm joking. And again, Mrs. Mooney, I apologize, okay? If she comes back, I'm gonna tell her to get out of here. I'm not gonna let her
run. No, actually, if she comes back, I wanna talk to her.
Okay.
Thank you.
Margot turns to call the elevator. Wearing a neat shirt and jeans, Lou runs across a street to a hotel called the Warwick. She strolls up to a room service tray left in a corridor and helps herself to leftovers. Lou strolls on down the corridor, finds another tray, and helps herself to strawberries and cream. A woman in tight underwear, makeup, and hair in curlers opens the door.
Are you housekeeping?
Yes.
Leave that alone for a minute. Come inside.
Lou looks around nervously and follows the woman into the room.
It's a mess. If they would send the maid up when I asked them to, it wouldn't be a problem, now would it? What's your name?
Why?
Because I asked.
Lou?
Lucy?
No, just Lou.
I like Lucy better. This is Madison.
Lou notices cash and jewelry.
Are you good with kids?
Oh, I don't know.
Can you watch her for me? I'll pay you. I have to go out tonight, and I... I can't take her with me. I'm a little nervous about her being with somebody else, but she seems to be comfortable with you already. So I think it's okay.
Lou nods uncertainly.
Lucy, sweetie, I really need you right now. Could you?
The woman smiles and fiddles with her earrings as Lou hesitantly goes to get the door.
You could just put that down right there.
The waiter puts down an ice bucket, and the woman signs for the beers.
Thank you, sweetheart.
The woman kisses the waiter full on the lips.
Hotel help.
You have to show them who's boss.
She swigs a beer.
Oh, I'm sorry. You work here. That was rude.
No, it's... That doesn't matter. I don't care.
My husband doesn't know I'm here. He didn't want to let me go to Cancun. He said it was too dangerous. Too dangerous. Well, I don't care. I have his credit card, and if it wasn't for her... But now I have you.
Yeah, look, I don't know much about kids, so...
No, you're perfect. You're perfect. Couldn't bring Nanny. She tells him everything because he cuts the check. She's a goddamn tattletale. That's what she is. To be honest with you, I'm not usually alone with her. God, it's tiring. You can keep a secret, can't you?
I'm meeting this man tonight. My husband can never know. This man just looks at me and I get wet. I just have to see him.
I can't.
Is that okay?
Don't worry about her. I need you right now.
It's a balcony.
Well, she has to learn. There's bars. I'd sue the fuck out of them.
Shouldn't she be wearing, like, a diaper or something?
Oh, God, no, no. We pee in the toilet. She's 1 year old. Do you think my legs are too white to wear a skirt?
No.
You think I'm fat, don't you?
No, I mean, not at all.
Once you have a baby, your body isn't as tight as it used to be. Not everybody can stay as tiny and skinny as you.
Oh, I never had a kid, so...
Well, fucking don't, okay? Because let me tell you, once you do, that is it. My tits are ruined. Ruined! Like a couple of dried up tea bags.
The woman smokes as Madison runs around naked.
He doesn't even look at me anymore. My husband. I used to be hot. I really was. When I first met my husband, he couldn't keep his eyes off my ass.
Great.
I love you. Could you zip me up?
Lou zips up the slinky pink dress.
Sweetie, I need makeup on my face. Could you do it? I need to just rest.
Yeah, I don't really know how to do that kind of stuff.
Oh, for fuck's sake. There. There's your tip. Has anyone ever tipped you $100 before?
No.
Now put some fucking makeup on my face.
Lou sits beside her on the sofa and rummages in a makeup purse.
This thing?
Mm-hmm. I need you.
Oh, shit.
Maybe that'll calm her down.
Madison has a bottle of beer.
Now put some shoes on my feet.
She had an accident.
No. Oh, God, don't say that. This is too much for me. What is wrong with her?
She's little.
She knows better.
I mean, it's just pee.
No, she's supposed to go on the potty. I have the book. My neighbor, he gave me the training book. She knows what she's supposed to do. She just doesn't want to do it. My God, this is just so hard. Nobody ever tells you how hard it's going to be. Everyone acts like it's just normal because everybody does it, but it's not. And I see all these women on TV and on the street, and they're doing it, and I can't. I don't know how.
She gets up from mopping the pee and smooths her dress.
I gotta go. Do I look fat?
No.
You think he'll want me? Give me my purse.
It's gold and shiny.
You know what? You two should go swimming in the pool today.
That would be fun.
It's cold.
Oh, it'll be fun. Get
some bathing suits.
Oh!
Cute.
And I have something for you, too.
A matching sarong. And a hat. Oh, and some flip-flops.
Yeah, it's really kind of too cold.
Oh, Maddie wants to go swimming. Don't you, baby?
Can have fun. Do I look great?
You look great.
The woman comes over and kisses Lou full on the lips.
I love you. Yeah,
great time.
Psycho.
As Lou wanders over to some cash and jewelry, Madison picks up a bottle of beer. Lou pockets the money, jewelry, and a watch. She turns to Madison and gently takes the glass bottle from her.
Can't have that.
Take this crap instead.
Lou hands the baby a toy and crouches down as Madison points to her accident.
Yeah, I'm not cleaning that up.
You clean it up.
Lou washes her face in the bathroom. She sniffs her armpit and grimaces. She dries her face, kicks off her boots, stuffs the stolen cash in one of them.
That's my money, kid.
Lou runs a bath and gets undressed. She sighs and goes to get Madison. They bathe together in a bath full of toys. Lou puts a toy octopus on the side of the bath and pushes it toward Madison. Lou blows through her hand to make bubbles. Madison stares, then reaches out and pops a bubble. Lou smiles, lathers up some more soap, and washes Madison.
Don't poop.
Lou lounges on the bed, bounces Madison up and down, and moves her arms around. Madison's mom arrives back, drunk, and is helped in by a member of the hotel staff.
Your mom's home.
Lou gets up as Madison's mom tries to kiss the man, who pulls away. She starts to take off her dress.
You can probably go, yeah?
Yes, ma'am.
The man leaves, and the woman sways tipsily in front of Lou and Madison.
He didn't want me. He didn't want me.
She collapses on the bed.
Hey.
Lou tries to wake her up.
Hey. Dude, come on.
Madison calmly fiddles with Lou's necklace as Lou wonders what to do. She gently puts Madison down on the bed beside her mom and moves away.
Ah!
Madison crawls to the edge of the bed, trying to follow Lou, who shrugs helplessly.
I don't know what to tell you, Kim.
Mom's out of it, and Lou's at a loss. As Madison climbs off the bed, Lou picks her up, hurries into the living room, and stuffs clothes into a bag. Lou slings the bag over her shoulder and walks out of the suite with Madison. She hurries to an elevator and pushes the buttons. Lou glances up nervously at a CCTV camera in the elevator. She opens the back door of her van, climbs in with the baby, and closes the door behind her. Lou tries to put Madison down, but the child clings to her. Lou pulls down the makeshift blinds over the windows, trying to calm the screaming baby, and clutches her forehead. Lou finds a bottle in the bag and a pacifier, which she stuffs in Madison's mouth. Lou hugs little Madison. In her quiet apartment, Margot is taking a bath and reading legal documents. Margot rolls her eyes and shakes her head as she reads. She accidentally dips a corner of the document in the bath and flicks water off the paper. She idly dips a bit more of the document. The ink on the signature runs. Then, very slowly, Margot pushes the whole document underwater. Margot smiles as the papers float along towards her feet. In a bathrobe, she blows the pages with a hairdryer. The pages are laid out on the toilet, on the edge of the sink, and over the side of the tub. Traffic flows along a street in daylight. A young woman walks her dogs whilst on the phone, and Madison's mom comes too. She gets unsteadily out of bed, still in her half-removed dress, and trudges to the window. She pushes back the curtains and treads on some of Madison's toys. She looks around with a puzzled frown.
Maddie? Madison? Madison? Somebody help me. Somebody help me.
She calls an elevator, pulls her dress back over her shoulders, and runs to the emergency stairs.
Somebody.
Lou heads back to the Warwick carrying Madison. Lou enters through the revolving front doors, notices a crowd of police in reception, and heads straight back out again. She jogs off down the street. Margot, her glasses perched on her forehead, is putting on mascara. She pulls down the glasses to see, then lifts them to brush the makeup on her lashes. Margot takes a shoebox out of a cupboard and inspects a pair of shiny patent high heels. She ponders, then walks down the street in a pair of plain brown flats. She's carrying an armful of books.
Margo. Hi.
Vera. Ed.
Hey, what are you doing here?
I have a book signing.
Oh, you should have told us. We would have come. Is it the marriage book or something new?
The marriage book. I'm the expert.
Listen, I know we haven't been the best. We did call you about that dinner. It's just, it's been really difficult for us to navigate the whole. And Stephen was really struggling there for a while.
Well, so good that he has you. Excuse me, I'm running late.
She turns away and goes into a bookstore.
She's lost a lot of weight.
Lou takes a pack of diapers off a shelf in a store and goes to figure out if they're the right kind for Madison. She puts them back and glances up at a CCTV camera. Lou glances up as a mother approaches carrying her baby.
Does he weigh?
She.
Really?
Really.
Sorry.
The woman glares at Lou and walks away. Lou goes to the checkout and pays for a pack of diapers. Lou goes up to the stroller the mum she encountered left at the front of the store. She puts her bag in it and casually walks out of the store with it. Lou changes Madison in a public washroom. A woman comes out of a stall and stares.
What, have you never seen a baby's ass before?
Lou looks heavenward, then imploringly at Madison. Margot closes her book.
Any questions? Yes.
You mentioned that marriage is the cornerstone of patriarchal power.
I didn't. That was the basis for the feminist argument in the 70s. Many people have argued the opposite. But even in a love-based marriage, each sex is capable of harnessing the productive and reproductive skills of the other.
Couldn't it be that people just didn't want to be alone?
Well, that would have made for a much shorter book.
Margot arrives home. She puts her books and keys on the table by the terrapin tank. She looks in the tank with a concerned frown.
Hey. Buddy? Hey. Hey. Oh my God. Oh my God, no. No. No.
She puts the little turtle on the table and strokes its shell, then stares at it in shock. Margot goes to answer the front door and tries to compose herself.
Yes.
Mrs. Mooney, that girl, she's here.
Send her up. Oh, I'm sorry.
Margot puts the terrapin on an envelope. She comes out of the kitchen wiping her nose and rolls down her shirt sleeves before going to the door.
I need to find Nico. Please. I'm his girlfriend, Tallulah.
Whose baby is this?
It's his.
Margot stares at Lou and Madison. In the living room, Lou munches a sandwich watched pensively by Margot. Madison also has a snack.
How old is she?
She's one.
It's big for one.
She's almost two.
Oh, can you take that out of her hand?
Oh, yeah.
Cat?
I got it. What's her name?
Margaret. We named her after you.
Never liked the name Margaret. That's why I go by Margot.
Well, right, well, we call her Maggie. So really, like, Maggie's her name.
Can you just...
You're all right.
She's fine. She's really, like... She's like a little... Like, I'll put her in gymnastics when she's older, for sure.
Oh, my God. I have something for you. Nico said you wanted us to use it.
Lou hands over a card.
If I'd wanted you to use it, I would have given you permission. This is called stealing.
I could have closed the account.
Well, how else could I keep track of my son? I have a record of every gas station in every city. You've certainly been all over. Can you please put that down?
Sorry.
I had no idea it was with the baby. Why didn't he call me?
I don't know. He said that he wanted to come home.
Oh, now he wants to come home now that he's knocked up some homeless girl.
Hey, I am not homeless, okay? I'm just sleeping in my van, but a window's broken and it's not a safe place for a baby.
Well, maybe you should have thought of that before you had one.
Do you want to hold her?
No, I'm not stupid.
Lou smiles innocently. Margot rolls her eyes.
One night. One. This house is full of very expensive things in sharp corners, so you hold on to her, and if you take anything from me, I will find you.
The police are in the hotel room.
There's no way that this woman worked for the hotel.
She was housekeeping.
We have babysitting services.
You would think you people have protections against this. I pay enough for my room.
Was she wearing a hotel uniform?
Yes.
Are you sure? Can we get her one to look at?
Yes, sir.
It's clear, boss. We got nothing.
Okay, move it out. Level one mobilization. Tell Central to start making notifications.
What is that?
Missing persons, possibly the FBI in case she crossed state lines.
What if she tries to sell her? She's white. She's pretty. People would want her.
I don't think that's likely. One thing at a time, Miss Ford. Oh, is it Mrs.?
Yes.
And we need to notify your husband.
Oh, he's in London on business.
We're going to be asking him some questions, and we'll be asking you some questions as well.
It's not my fault.
No one thinks it is.
My baby's hurt. I don't know what I'll do.
Elevator and hallway? I put this out to the local news stations and papers.
The news? Haven't I been through enough?
Do you want to find your child?
Mrs. Ford looks horrified. Lou's asleep with Madison. Margot looks in on them and covers them with a blanket.
Thanks.
Did you use my toothbrush?
Maybe.
Because it was wet.
Sorry.
Don't you have one?
Why, is that gross?
Yes. Is she all right sleeping there?
Yeah.
Her breathing is so fast.
Is that bad?
No.
Margot shrugs, and they both watch Madison.
Isn't she just the coolest, weirdest little thing you've ever seen?
Yes.
She's just so little. She's got those, like, tiny little toenails. It just blows my mind.
And they grow up and hate you, and it really blows your mind.
Yeah.
Well, good night.
Good night, Mooney.
Don't use my toothbrush again.
Lou grins and lies staring at Madison. In daylight on the high-rise street, Margot wakes up and frowns at the noises. Margot gets out of bed and wanders sleepily through the apartment into the kitchen.
What are you doing?
Juicing.
Where did you find that juicer?
Oh, up in the cabinet. Still in the box.
Please, stop that noise.
The guy at the bodega sold me 16 for a dollar. They were 4 for a dollar. But I talked him down. Well, we talked him down, that's right. And I'm gonna make a lemonade stand on the back of Jim.
Jim?
Yeah, it's my van. Dude, freshly squeezed lemonade. Are you kidding me? I'm gonna kill.
No, stop that sound. Tallulah, stop it.
The top of the juicer pops up and down as Margot switches it off.
Has she eaten?
Not really.
All right, I think I... Oh, God. I have some cereal or something. Here you go.
No milk or anything, huh? Just like that?
Are you breastfeeding?
She's a bottle.
Well, why don't you make her one? And she needs a change of clothes. Where are her things?
Stolen. Some asshole broke into my van, stole my suitcase. I mean, I got some stuff in the stroller, but...
Does she have a toy?
I mean, a couple, but, you know, she doesn't even like toys. She likes things like shoes and pans and, like, stuff like this. You know what I mean? Do you have any sugar?
Margot does a double take, eyeing Lou in disbelief.
Lemonade! Fresh squeezed lemonade! Who wants some lemonade? You want lemonade? I know you want lemonade. Come on, it's organic. It's organic. You, sir, you want some. You need it. Hydration is important. Looking at your skin, you need it. Lemonade, do you want lemonade? Discount. I'll give you a discount. You'll enjoy it. Yes. Yes.
As Lou counts her takings, Margot hurries out of the apartment building with Madison.
You cannot do this here.
Oh, really? Well, what's this?
As if the neighbors don't have enough to talk about, get back in the apartment. This is embarrassing.
No one's even watching. Who cares? Now.
The doorman is staring.
The doorman is staring because he's thirsty.
Lou, no.
It's hot out, dude.
Lou runs over to Manuel with a cup of lemonade, and he smiles gratefully. CCTV shows a man in an elevator at the hotel.
This guy again. Hold on, it's coming up. I got the little girl exiting.
The feed shows Lou entering the elevator.
There you go.
Stop, stop.
Turn around. Turn around. Thank you.
That's her. That's her.
Oh, damn it!
Can I do anything?
No. I'm fine. Just stop watching me.
Do you always get this stressed out when you cook?
Well, I don't usually have an audience.
Do you like a turtle or a frog or something?
No.
Just a tank?
It died years ago, and I don't know why I still keep... Oh!
Here, let me help.
She dropped a bunch of broccoli. Lou eats some off the floor.
Were you raised by wolves?
I was.
Okay, stop. Huh? Get out of the kitchen. Take her and wash your hands while you're at it.
Okay. Oh, munchkin.
Munching broccoli, Lou picks up Madison as Margot stares in disbelief. They sit and eat at the dining table.
Chicken's dry. Huh.
At least it's not dirty like the broccoli.
Lou offers Madison a large chunk of broccoli.
You might want to cut that up for her.
Those books over there have your name on them.
That's because I wrote them.
What are they about?
The family unit from a historical perspective. My last book was about cultural shifts in the perception of marriage.
It's fucked up.
Yes, in a nutshell.
Does it tell you afford all this?
All this?
Like the furniture and the fancy paintings and...
Most of it's my husband's. The fancy paintings are his.
Why don't you change it?
I can't. This is faculty housing. No one can know he's not here.
Yeah, well, come on. Are they really checking?
Margot tries to remain patient.
It would just drive me crazy. Living with someone else's stuff. I mean, it's one thing if it's your own shitty art.
You're very rude.
Stop talking.
Margot glances up at one of the paintings, then keeps eating.
I hate the paintings. Happy?
After dark, the apartment is warmly lit by lamps. Lou wakes up in bed and stares at Madison, fast asleep with a pacifier. Lou gets carefully out of bed and picks up her clothes. Lou stuffs money in her jeans pocket and stares at Madison. She gently touches the sleeping baby, then walks out with her backpack and takes a coat. Lou looks in Margot's purse and takes a credit card and cash. She gets in her van. Lou sits unhappily behind the wheel and hangs her head.
Fuck!
Lou sleeps in the back of the van. She wakes up woozily. Margot is banging on the window.
I'm not used to sleeping in a van. I'm more comfortable in the van.
It's not safe to leave a baby alone. Didn't anyone tell you
that? Yeah, well, I'm kind of just figuring out this whole mommy thing on my own.
You have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah, I know.
I cannot believe this kid has made it this far. I have half a mind to call child services.
Well, fuck! I've never done this before, okay?
Well, you ask about these things, Tallulah. No one knows how to do it, but you ask.
No, I've never had anyone to ask.
Margot stares after her as Lou walks away, pushing the stroller. Kids play in a fountain in the sunshine. A man with long hair sits on a bench surrounded by pigeons. One perches on his head. Lou and Madison sit on the grass in the park with Margot. Lou's blowing a blade of grass.
Oh, don't eat the grass. Don't eat the grass. Guess I should knock it before I try it.
Lou eats a blade of grass. Margot stares at her.
It's not good. Don't do it.
What's your plan, Lou?
Lie in the grass?
I mean, with your life.
Did you have a plan?
Yes, of course I did.
And what was that?
Well, I suppose it changed. I was finishing my thesis when I got pregnant. All of our friends were these hyper-academic, ambitious people, and Stephen was right there at the center of it all. And I suppose it wasn't cool to admit it at the time. It was painfully conventional. But I really just wanted to be married. To have a family. My plan was to be a mom.
How'd that work out?
I guess it didn't. They both left me.
Margot smiles and nods sadly.
You're naive. That's your problem.
Well,
say that. I hate that word.
Your plan depended on other people. People suck. They'll disappoint you every time.
That is no way to live.
Look, I'm not saying that we should go around, like, dicking each other over all the time, but... like, look. When I was six, my mom took me to this, like, weird apartment building, and she sat me up on the stoop and told me to wait. And she was just gonna go run some errands or whatever and come back. And I sat there for hours, and it got really cold. And then this, like, old Buick pulls up, and this, like, tall, skinny guy gets out. Like, a guy I'd never even seen before. And he was like, hey, I'm your dad, and you're gonna come home with me. And then I never saw her again. But I wouldn't have cared, right? If I hadn't needed her, so. I think it's better to not be needed.
She needs you.
She doesn't know any better.
You cannot keep living in your van. It's dangerous.
You live alone.
It's not the same thing. You're out on the street. You could be robbed or attacked.
And you could slip in the shower, choke on an egg roll or something. Who would find you?
No one. For days. My cleaning lady would have a horrible surprise.
Liz, that poor woman.
Yeah.
Don't do that to someone.
Lou smiles mischievously.
Thank God there's gravity, right?
What do you mean?
Like just sticking us here on the ground. Like some magnet at the center of the earth in the lava, just like keeping us stuck.
It's not a magnet.
What if it stopped? Or like, what if it stopped just like right in the spot where I was? I feel like that could happen, you know? And if there wasn't anything keeping me here anymore and I just floated off the planet, I guess I'd grab like a tree or branch or something to stay connected to the earth. You know, so I wouldn't like go floating off into space.
Lou and Margot lie on their backs looking up at the trees.
I don't think I'd grab on. I'd go.
Madison sits quietly between them. Mrs. Ford lays out Madison's clothes, some pink sandals, and sips a drink.
Mrs. Ford? I'm Louisa Kinney. I'm with Child Protective Services. I need to speak with you.
They sent a pregnant woman to help me find my kids. This is a joke.
May I come in?
Mrs. Ford tipsily puts her drink on the nightstand and fiddles with a little dress.
This is quite a collection.
She loved to dress up.
There are lots of bottles on the nightstand.
And that's quite a collection as well.
I'm the mother, not a suspect.
Unfortunately, Mrs. Ford, we need to consider all possibilities. It's my job to determine how you planned for the safety of this child.
Is that your first kid?
No. It's my third.
Imagine losing one.
I can't.
Margot struggles to open the front door with some packages.
No, 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 no. Hey, let me help you, Mrs. Mooney.
Thank you.
You got a baby, Miss Mooney?
No, I have a granddaughter.
Not possible.
Possible.
Well, then you're the best looking grandma I ever saw.
Margot eyes him coldly.
Now, there is a smile in there, and one day I'm gonna get it. Maybe even see a little teeth.
Thank you, Manuel.
My pleasure.
Margot.
Margot.
Both smile as the elevator doors close.
Margo.
Yoo-hoo!
She enters the apartment with two bulky boxes and a bag. Lou seems to be doing some kind of art in the living room.
What the hell is going on?
Shh, it's nap time. I thought we could repaint the paintings.
You're not serious.
You hate them. You said that you hated them, so I...
No, absolutely not. My God, my furniture. What have you done?
I put out newspaper.
No. These are my things. You have no right to touch them.
I just thought it would be fun and...
Who does that? What's wrong with you?
A lot.
This is my home. It's not a joke.
Okay.
God, this is a 1920s sumac carpet. You can't just do anything you want.
I just thought that you wanted...
Don't stop it. Stop. Just stop. You don't know what I want. You're like a feral beast. I don't know what I was thinking.
These things aren't even yours.
Don't do that. I took you in off the street. I will not be taken advantage of.
It's not personal, Margot.
Of course it's personal. Get your filthy fingers off of that. I will not let some crazy kid come in and destroy my life for her own amusement.
Jesus. No wonder Nico left.
I need you to go.
Are you serious?
Of course I'm serious. Get out. Go live in your van. You can paint any goddamn thing you want in there. This is where I live. This is my space. I have things the way I want them. Do you understand? This is how I like it. Oh! Oh! Oh, my God. Oh, no! 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 Oh.
She spills yellow paint on a painting.
Oh! Oh, my God. Oh.
She tries to scoop up the bright yellow, despairs, and slaps her hands on the canvas.
See? Now it's yours.
Hands covered in paint, Margot stares up at Lou. She pours a glass of wine.
I've done crazy things.
Sure.
Wild.
I mean, I bet I can beat it, but...
Mm-hmm.
They repaint the canvases in bright daubs of color.
I smuggled heroin in my crotch.
No, you didn't.
Oh. Sort of.
How do you sort of smuggle heroin in your crotch?
I had a boyfriend. We were madly in love. He was in a terrible rock band. He was so... Sucks. And we were coming back from a trip to India.
My God, I want to go there.
Don't. It's horrible. Dead cows floating down the same river people drink out of. It's dirty. I made it as far as the airport bathroom.
And?
I couldn't stick it up there. I panicked. I left it on the sink.
And what happened to the guy?
He was furious. He dumped me after that trip. I was just too much of a goody two-shoes for him.
You need to tell Nico this story because he thinks you're such a tight ass.
Margot stops painting and stares at Lou.
Is that why he left?
I don't know. He said something like, I'm her son, I'm not her husband.
Well, my God. I know that.
Lou notices a news report on TV about a kidnapping.
Oh, that just makes me... Did he use that word? Tight ass? Christ. Well, you know what? You do everything you can and you still screw up. Well. Okay. Jesus, what time is it? She's never gonna sleep.
Lou watches the TV in shock as Margot hurries off to get Madison.
You let this happen?
The police can't control what the newspapers print, Mrs. Ford. They interviewed an employee of the hotel.
I don't give a fuck who they interviewed. These people are liars. They probably sold the story. Or maybe they're all working together in a big kidnapping ring. Did you ever think about that?
Do you think you're ready to go home?
No. I'll stay here.
It might be a while before we locate your daughter. After the first 72 hours, it becomes much more difficult.
I can't go home.
Well, do you have someone you can call? I'd rather you didn't.
Oh, right. You're one of those, huh? Prenatal yoga, eating all organic. I bet you just love breastfeeding, huh? It's one of your favorite things in the whole wide world.
It worked for me.
Mrs. Ford stubs out her cigarette.
We contacted your husband.
No.
This is bad for you.
I have to get out of here.
Mrs. Ford, we're not done here.
I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not even supposed to be in the city. He'll never forgive me.
Mrs. Ford.
God.
Mrs. Ford, finding fault does not necessarily mean action will be taken.
My husband already thinks I'm a terrible mother lady. He said it right from the beginning. Every time she cried, which was all the fucking time, it was always my fault. And now he gets to throw it in my face. You people aren't even doing anything. Do I have to go out there and find her myself?
That might show me you care, which I'm not sure I believe.
You can't talk to me like that. I'll get you fired.
Oh, go for it. You wouldn't be the first shitty mom to try. I deal with parents every day who should have never brought a life into this world, but most of them are poor or addicts, which I don't forgive them for, but at least I can understand why it might be hard for them to do the right thing. You, I'm finding it hard to make excuses for.
If you only knew what this was like for me. I am embarrassed. I can't see him.
You can't go.
What are you gonna do? Arrest me?
The detective eyes her sternly, but shrugs, and she goes. On a plaza, Madison has a bottle, and Lou shows her a toy. A guy comes up with a portable stereo.
Got a baby, man.
In flashback, Madison is not there. Nico comes up carrying a broken bicycle. He sits beside Lou.
Hi.
Hey.
What happened?
These motherfuckers took my wheels, they jacked up my frame.
Sucks.
Bunch of assholes.
What's your name?
Nico.
I'm Lou.
Hey.
I hate to tell you this. I don't think that's gonna ride again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thank
sorry.
You. I appreciate that.
No, don't shoot the messenger.
Assholes.
The bike's frame is completely buckled.
You live around here?
No, I just came to see what all the hype's about.
What are you doing?
Looking for a job. I wanted to get a job as a dishwasher, but people get really weirded out when I say that. I guess because I'm not like a little Puerto Rican dude or something.
No, you're not. You're not a little Puerto Rican dude. Bummer.
Lou rolls herself a cigarette.
Where do you live?
There.
Where?
He points to the high rise.
Nice.
I'm getting out of here, though.
Yeah?
My mom's driving me crazy.
Why?
Because my dad likes dick. He left her for a dude. She's losing her mind.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Lou stares thoughtfully at Nico.
Do you have any tendencies in that direction?
No.
Good. Let's keep it that way.
She grins and hands him a smoke. Nico lights up and smiles broadly. In the apartment, Margot gets her pair of red high heels out of a box. She puts them on and applies lipstick in a mirror. Margot takes a deep breath and goes down to reception.
Good evening, Mrs. Mooney.
Manuel.
Can I help you with something?
Would you like wine? A glass of wine. Would you like a glass of wine? And you can't, of course, because you're working.
No. No. It's okay. I'm gonna take a break.
I can take a break.
Yeah. I take a break and I call my guy. He come up. Okay. And he's gonna wash the front desk for me, okay?
Okay.
Así que sube para arriba, que yo voy por un apartamento ahora. Sí. Dale, pues. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Margot towers over Manuel in her heels.
Here's a Napa Valley cab. A little big to drink on its own. Here's say, 2001 L'Armand. That's more balanced. I have to take these. These are just not comfortable. Here's this. This is interesting. Rioja. Reserva Especial.
You speak Spanish?
No, I don't, actually, no.
I really don't drink wine, you know. I'm more of a beer kind of guy, you know.
Oh, yeah, okay. I don't have beer. I've got whiskey.
Manuel pulls her to him and kisses her.
Ooh, what are you doing?
What? I thought you wanted me to... I thought you wanted...
You were wrong.
Oh. Okay.
I think it's best that you leave.
Okay. Okay.
Manuel frowns in confusion and walks out. Margot buries her face in her hands. Madison lies quietly sleeping. Lou watches her. And gets off the bed. Margot's sitting in bed reading.
Margot?
Yes?
She's dead.
What?
Or asleep. It's either dead or asleep.
Jesus!
Lou sits on the bed and looks heavenward as Margot dashes out.
Sleep. Don't do that to me.
She wasn't moving. The breathing part was questionable. She totally seemed dead. I mean, I think we should wake her up.
No, don't do that. Lou, babies need a routine. The kid is exhausted. Leave her alone. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm scared.
Margot sips a drink on her nightstand.
Can I lay down with you for a minute?
Without waiting for an answer, Lou moves a pile of books and gets under the covers.
Oh, your feet are freezing!
Sorry.
Margot sits uncomfortably and takes off her glasses as Lou settles back.
But she is gonna die.
What?
Well, not now, not soon.
Well, I certainly hope not. Well,
hopefully, like, really... far into the future, but still, she's gonna die, and it makes me sad.
Well, we're all gonna die.
Right? We're all gonna die. It's super sad. I like it here. Either you'll die first, and I'll be sad, or... I'll die first and you'll be sad. Either way, we're all gonna be dead.
It's so fucking sad.
It's the saddest thing ever. So sad.
It's really sad. It's really sad.
Oh, what is the point?
Oh, I tried to seduce the tour man.
What? When?
This afternoon.
You slut.
He kissed me and I threw him out.
Why did you... You wanted him to kiss you. That's what
no,
you...
No, I mean, yes, but he caught me off guard. I didn't know what to do.
You should have grabbed his cock. Just grab right onto that shaft, you know?
Well, I didn't think of that.
Well, you should have. Oh, poor guy. God.
My poor guy.
Likes you.
Lou shuts her eyes, and Margot looks down at her thoughtfully. Margot hesitantly strokes Lou's dark hair.
You trying to put the moves on me? Nico used to do that, but he was so bad at it.
Margot keeps watch as Lou dozes off. Lou sits on a dock, looking out across the city.
Dive in. I dare you.
Nico's sitting next to her on the dock.
This is my favorite spot in Manhattan. I come here all the time.
Why?
Because it makes you realize you're on an island.
Yep.
And say, all the bridges were gone, and the tunnels and the subways. And we all have to just jump in and swim.
Nico stares at Lou and grins.
You could do it, you know. Just swim away.
I have to leave.
What do you mean?
I have to get out of New York.
I don't want to come with you.
No, you don't.
Come on, why not?
Because you wouldn't like the way I live, remember?
I love how you live. It's amazing.
Yeah, right.
Let's go right now.
Right now?
Yeah. What's stopping us? Come on, stand up. Let's go.
I have to say goodbye.
Fuck that.
To your mom? You can't leave her alone.
He stands clutching a skateboard and glances toward the sirens.
They're coming for you, Lou.
He grins and walks away as Lou sits hugging her knees anxiously. At the apartment, she scans a newspaper.
She's just chattering away in her crib. She won't go down. You know, if you woke her earlier, she might go down for her now. Is that today's paper? Don't throw that out.
No, I read it. It's trash.
It's the New York Times. Well, here, this is trash. Hello?
Hey, Steven.
Oh, Steven. Hi.
Is everything okay?
I'm fine.
Did you call?
Yes, I called you.
Lou looks through the tabloid and comes across an article titled Stolen from the Stroller with a photo of her with Madison. She panics and throws the paper away.
Do that.
Do what?
That was Nico's dad. He wants to meet you. He's invited us for lunch.
That's all right. We can go do that.
I can't. He's with a man.
Yeah, I knew that.
I mean, I don't want to see him in his blissful domestic gay. I can't be part of that. I can't go to that apartment. I don't want to see him happy. I can't.
Margot rings the bell on a door next to a bar diner. Lou has Madison in the stroller.
How do I look? I don't even answer.
Sorry, it's Andreas. I was in the kitchen trying to make sense of the artichoke. Come in.
Margot rolls her eyes and glances at Lou, then they go in. Madison eats happily with her fingers.
Would you like some wine, Tallulah?
You guys, please don't wait for me. Seriously, everybody dig in. It's going to get cold. I just have to finish this dressing, which may or may not be a total disaster.
It'll be great.
Oh, thanks, babe. Mm. Oh, it's a dorji. It's from Bhutan.
It's a wooden penis.
It's a symbol of fertility,
People paint them on their doors to protect their houses.
Turns out Andreas couldn't contain himself from Cambodia. We came home with two extra suitcases.
Yeah, well, if we were going to adopt, we want to make sure the baby's surrounded by objects from his own culture.
You're adopting?
No. No. Any way we can't.
Is that the big rush?
Hardly a rush, Margot. It's been 3 years.
No, it was just a conversation. There's this orphanage in Phnom Penh. You guys should see how these kids live. They have absolutely nothing. And you have to be really careful because there's this whole orphan tourism thing that's going on over there, and it's really unregulated, and these people hide behind Christian groups. And it turns out a lot of these kids have a parent. I mean, obviously, we're doing our research, and we're figuring
out. Anyway, there's so much red tape at the embassy. It's not even worth discussing. Let's eat.
Margot sits stony-faced. Mrs. Ford is having trouble with her charge cards.
Let's try this one.
I'm sorry, ma'am. There's a hold on the account.
What the fuck does that mean?
Perhaps you could call your bank.
Can you just run this card, please?
Is this a joint account?
It's my husband's account.
Well, perhaps your husband knows what's happened.
Mrs. Ford stares at the guy at the desk, then walks out with her luggage.
So, Tallulah, are you named after the infamous Tallulah Bankhead?
Yep.
Oh, really? Hmm. Those are some footsteps to follow in. She has one of my favorite quotes all time.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, how's it go? If I had to live my life again, I would make the same mistakes, only sooner. I think that's a pretty great quote.
Margot looks uncomfortable, and Andreas pats Stephen's knee. Lou glances at her.
I don't know why I just said that. I don't even know who she is. I was named after a dive bar in Somerville where my mom used to waitress, Tallulah's Bar and Grill. They had like 65 beers on tap. And one day they were going to go out of business, so they threw this like really big, like kick the kegs kind of party, and the whole neighborhood came. And that's the night I was conceived.
Margot stifles a smile and looks Stephen right in the eye.
Wow. An auspicious beginning.
Espresso, anyone?
I'll have one, thank you.
Espresso.
Sorry.
No, it's okay, really. Don't worry about it. It's my fault, please. Piling is hardly the same thing as cleaning up, so it's... Oh, please do not judge me for this. It's my only guilty pleasure.
Lou stares in panic at Andreas as he tidies some papers, including a copy of the tabloid.
Where was Nico conceived?
Maybe a too personal question.
In my graduate school dorm room in the middle of midterm exams.
You're absolutely right.
Mrs. Ford walks slowly down a street pulling her luggage. She stares in distress at a mother carrying a baby and is close to tears. She sits down miserably on a step.
So, Lou, I'm trying to chart your course. The last time you saw Nico was in...
Tennessee. We were traveling around the country.
For how long?
Couple years.
Weren't you scared?
With the baby?
They travel, Stephen. It's what they do.
Yeah, it was fun.
If it was so much fun, why did he leave?
He said he was tired.
So you're in love, you're living in a van with a baby, and suddenly my son just decides to ditch his kid and what? Walk back to New York?
Well, he's probably hitchhiking.
Stephen, what are you doing?
He's being pretty rude.
No, I'm not being rude. I'm trying to get it straight, Margot. I'm trying to find out what the fuck happened to our son. This is the last person who saw him alive. Doesn't that concern you?
Of course it concerns me.
Do you honestly believe any of this shit? That he would leave his child in the care of this girl? How do we even know that kid is his?
For God's sake, Stephen, people leave all the time.
He could be dead for all we know.
He's definitely not dead.
Of course he's not dead.
Are you giving her money? Are you? Margo, this girl is a liar.
You're the liar. You're a liar and you're unkind.
You just don't want to see her for what she is.
Wow, 20 years of deception. All of a sudden, you're the fucking Pope of Honesty.
I'm looking out for you.
You don't get to be the hero. All our friends may think you did something brave, but you cheated and you lied and you fucked around and you left. And now you get to have all of this. And I get to rot in that goddamn apartment in the middle of all your shit.
Well, then move on. Sign the papers. Be done with it.
Why? Why? Because God forbid I make it hard for you, as if it isn't hard enough being a faggot. You let me build this family on a lie. You let me make it my life, and you knew. The whole time, that's what kills me. You knew.
God damn it, you knew the whole time, too. You knew. If we're really being honest here.
I loved you, and I loved our family. And how dare you call someone else a liar? How dare you be mean to her? At least she has the balls to be who she really is. Let me have her. Let me have her. Come here, sweetheart. Lou, come on. It's okay, baby.
Lou picks up the baby's bag and follows Margot out. Stephen knocks a glass angrily and throws his glasses down on the table. Margot carries a stroller outside, and Lou has Madison.
The last 8 years of our marriage, he didn't touch me, and I stayed. I stayed!
Margot tries to hail a cab, and one drives straight past.
Come on, is every cab in the city off duty? Oh, I can't believe how angry I am. Come on, let's go down to Broadway.
Where's the subway?
No, I'd rather not. It's not safe.
What are you afraid of? Terrorists? Like they're gonna gas that one train or something?
Yes!
So we die. Big deal. Get that shit over with.
No, please.
Hey, does she look sweaty to you? She's all sweaty.
Mrs. Ford is in a cab and lights up a cigarette.
Ma'am, there's no smoking.
She drops the smoke out of the window, then stares as she catches sight of Margot, Lou, and the baby.
So long, I don't even know if I can. What is your hurry?
You got your luggage!
Mrs. Ford dashes across the road to the subway station. Lou snatches a card from Margot and hurries through a turnstile.
All right, now pass it back through to me.
Come on, let's go! Train, come on!
Lou, I don't think that's allowed!
Lou shoves open an emergency exit. Margot enters as Mrs. Ford comes down the steps into the station.
Stop her! Stop! Stop her!
Margot stares back at Mrs. Ford, then follows Lou down to the platform.
Wait!
Lou dashes onto a train and looks back for Margot. Mrs. Ford finds the open emergency gate.
Ma'am, no, you need to swipe a card. No, stop. Wait here. No, you can't. Swipe the baby. Come on.
The train doors close as Mrs. Ford reaches the platform.
Oh my God! What is it? Somebody stop this train! Oh my God, somebody help me!
The train pulls out, leaving the distraught mother in tears.
Why did you run? Answer me!
I think there's something wrong with her. She has a fever. She's hot.
Who was that woman?
What woman?
The woman who chased us.
Did she say something to you?
What would she have told me? What the fuck is going on here? Who are you, really?
That's my stuff. What are you doing?
Looking through it.
She finds a handful of credit cards.
Did you steal from her, too?
Okay, we're leaving.
I want answers. What have you done?
Nothing!
No one runs like that unless they've done something.
I just don't like running!
Lou, look at me. I need the whole story.
So what, I'm a thief? I'm a liar? You don't ask, you just assume?
Well, what else am I supposed to think? I know you're hiding something. I've known that since you showed up here.
I don't have to tell you anything.
I took care of you. You owe me.
You take care of someone because you want to. You don't throw it back in their face.
I am trying to help you. If you are in trouble, it's okay. Tell me what you did.
I'm so stupid. I should have known. I don't know why I thought this was different.
This is your family.
I'm not your fucking family.
No. Please don't take her. Please don't take her.
She's sick and you don't even care.
She's sick. Don't take her. Lou.
Lou walks out carrying Madison and leaving the stroller. She gets into the van, which has a parking ticket saying, "Do not move this vehicle." And it's been booted.
Shit! Fuck you. Okay. All right, I'm gonna get you some medicine, okay? You're gonna be okay. 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 Okay.
As Lou walks off down the street, Mrs. Ford arrives back at the hotel room, but can't get in. Louisa Kinney opens up, and her husband's there, too.
You were drunk, Carolyn.
She stares at him expressionlessly. Margot goes out to Lou's van and notices the boot. Margot looks both ways up the street, then goes back to her apartment building. Nico is waiting for her, sitting miserably hunched in reception.
Hi, Mom.
Hi.
I'm not even going to ask what you were doing up here. I don't care anymore. And nothing could be worse than what you've already done to our daughter.
You are worthless, Carolyn.
Who was she?
She worked here.
No, she didn't. But you didn't even fucking bother to check, did you? You just handed our child over to a stranger. Oh, Jesus.
You're like a fucking toddler.
I know. I'm sorry.
You're sorry? Where do you even begin to be sorry?
I saw her on the train. I know she's here. I know she's okay.
What train station?
I don't remember. I don't.
What
remember.
Fucking train station, Carolyn?
Red. The sign was red.
The one. Notify MTA.
Do you remember which direction they went?
I don't remember. I was running. I don't know. I'm sorry. I was so close. Her little face. She was right there.
You don't deserve her, Carolyn.
I'm still her mother.
You don't deserve her.
I'm still her mother. I want her back more than anything. I am trying. I just need help. I need help.
Boss, can I get you a step up?
I'm in the middle of something.
We have some information.
Give me a minute.
Squad got a call.
Anonymous?
The ex-husband of some woman said they had lunch at his place.
Tell me you got an address.
Yeah.
Go get it.
If anything's happened to her,
I'll kill myself.
Lou walks down the dock carrying Madison. Lou kneels down, holding the little girl tightly.
Please don't be sick. I'm sorry you ended up with me. I don't know how to help you.
Lou wraps Madison up in her jacket, kissing and comforting her. Lou gets up and stares out at the water. Then dives in and swims underwater.
Everywhere for you. My mom told me you just took off. Jesus Christ, whose baby is this?
I gotta get her to a hospital.
It was a daydream. She's still on the dock. In the kitchen at home, Margot prepares herself and grimly makes a call.
NYPD, open up.
Margot cuts off the call and goes to the door.
Open up. NYPD.
Where's the baby?
No, don't do this. You're not thinking. If you take her up there right now, then you are done. That is it. They have you.
Hi, can I help? My baby's sick. You can fill this out, and if you have an insurance card, I'll need that as well.
Lou walks away from triage, anxiously reading the clipboard she was given.
You have got to get out of here.
I can't answer any of these questions.
They will arrest you, Lou. This is kidnapping.
Oh, fuck you. Where have you been?
I wanted to see my mom, and then I couldn't, all right? It was fucked up for you to get her involved in this shit. You had no right to do that.
Yeah, I had nowhere else to go. I don't have any insurance, so...
Okay, can you wait to see a regular doctor? Because the emergency room is going to cost you.
You know what? I'm really worried about her because okay. She's sweating and she's not breathing right.
Okay. Just fill out this form. This is for allergies if she has any, okay?
Is that important?
Yes.
I don't know if she has any allergies, so...
Okay, has she had her shots?
I don't know.
Yeah, how old is she? You're not the mother. Okay, what is your relationship to the child?
I found her. She was abandoned.
Okay, let me get somebody to help you, okay? Okay.
I found her in the park. Someone left her in the bushes. I had nothing to do with taking her.
What am I supposed to do?
Just get out of the city.
Where do I go?
Go wherever. Go to India, but you gotta disappear. You don't have a choice.
Hey, baby.
Run. Run.
Nico takes Madison, and Lou hurries off. The police are with Mr. Ford at Margot's. She trudges despondently into the kitchen. Mrs. Ford arrives in Margot's kitchen.
Can I get you anything?
Coffee.
All right. Do you take anything?
No, it's fine.
Mrs. Ford sits, and Margot places a mug on the table in front of her.
I'm so sorry.
You didn't know.
She's a beautiful little girl.
He's gonna leave me.
Who?
My husband. I thought maybe if I found him myself, he might forgive me.
Well, of course he will.
Can I smoke a cigarette, please?
Oh, yes.
She finds a small bowl on a shelf to use as an ashtray.
Well,
Mrs. Ford puts away her cigarettes without lighting one. Margot sits at the table with her.
My whole family kept telling me how lucky I was to have him. I don't know what I'd be doing if it weren't for him. They kept telling me I should count my blessings, that he even married me. Now he's done with me. And I lost my job.
Just can't imagine what this must be like for you.
I wished for it.
What?
I wished for it. I wished so many times for it to happen. If only I'd never had her, if only she was gone.
You don't mean that?
I did mean that. Isn't that terrible? I kept waiting for it to happen, some mommy feeling, but it never came. And I was so mad at her. He didn't pay me any attention before, so I thought maybe if I had a baby, he'd be interested, but it's the opposite. It's so lonely. Am I a horrible person?
We're all horrible. And we're all just people.
I made a mistake.
Margot puts a hand on hers comfortingly. Lou walks miserably along a subway station platform. She shrugs off her backpack and gets out a piece of paper to check a number and make a call from a payphone. Margot hurries to answer the call. The detective patches it through.
Hello?
Me.
I'm sorry. She's not mine. I took her from this woman.
Because, I thought you couldn't take care of her, and I didn't mean to lie to you. I just needed help because I had nowhere else to go.
Where are you?
She's at the hospital.
What hospital?
First Presbyterian with Nico.
Nico?
Yeah, I wanted to stay, but to go.
Is she sick?
Yeah.
You've done a really bad thing.
I thought it was the right thing. That's the
only reason I did it.
Where are you going?
I'm sorry.
Lou?
She hangs up as a train arrives at the platform. Margot waits emotionally as the police go to pick up Lou. The train doors open and she stares inside. Struggling with her emotions, Lou closes her eyes and the train doors close again without her getting on. Lou stands with her eyes closed, then returns to the hospital. Nico's standing in a hallway holding Madison.
Lou, what are you doing?
Lou takes Madison, hugs her, and kisses her hair.
I got you.
Oh, shit. Tallulah. Don't move.
Stay right where you are. Hand over the child.
What, to her? She doesn't want it.
Hand over the child.
She's so little. No, she's not fucked up by you yet. You don't even care.
I'm not gonna ask you again. Hand over the child.
She doesn't want her. Ask her. Ask her right now. Do you? Do you?
Lou hands Madison over. A female officer brings some cuffs, and the detective puts them on Lou. Police escort the Fords and Madison away, and Lou bursts into tears.
Downtown until official charges are filed.
And after that?
It's up to the courts to decide.
I'm gonna find a way to get you home. I promise.
I'm so sorry.
I know you are.
Let's go.
Margot nods, understanding, and the detective escorts Lou into the waiting cruiser. The Fords stare after Lou, and Margot watches sadly as the police car drives away. Lou sits gloomily in the back of the police car and looks out at the illuminated nighttime streets. The detective turns to talk to her.
So you make a habit of taking toddlers into protective custody?
Lou just stares at him, and the detective turns back around in his seat. Lou stares out of the car window and smiles. The street dancers performing in a square. Margot, out walking, watches. Margot glances up at the sky and smiles as she watches the dancers' agile acrobatic moves. The small group takes a bow. A rainbow of sunlight forms between the leaves of trees in the park. Margot walks thoughtfully and watches groups of people sitting on the grass. She lies down on her back, looks up at the leaves, and idly picks one up from the ground. The leaf hovers above Margot's hand, then gently floats up into the air. Margot's eyes widen as she finds herself floating upward. She stares up at the sun-bathed trees as she drifts up very gently. Tyler's hands brush the leaves as she rises. Then she gets scared, looking at the people far below, and grabs hold of a branch to steady herself. Close up on Margot's hands on the branch, then the screen cuts to black. Written and directed by Sean Hedder. Produced by Heather Ray.
If I could be
Chris Columbus, Russell Levine, Todd Traina.
Baby, where you are.
Starring Ellen Page as Tallulah.
If I could be
Allison Janney as Margot.
Baby, where you are.
Tammy Blanchard as Carolyn.
If I could
Evan Yonikkeit as Nico.
Baby,
Uzo Aduba as Louisa Kinney. Felix Solis as Manuel. Frederick Lena as Russell. With John Benjamin Hickey as Stephen. David Zayas as Detective Richards. And Zachary Quinto as Andreas. Casting by Bernard Telsey, CSA, Tiffany Little Canfield, CSA, Associate Conrad Wolf, CSA.
If I could know.
Executive produced by Eleanor Columbus, Chris Litton, David Newsom,
baby,
Charlotte Ubben, Mark know. Burton, Paul Cho, and Ellen Page.
Then I could see.
Baby, co-produced by Ged Dickerson. Director of photography, Paula Huidobro. Production designer Sarah K. White. Edited by Darren Navarro, ACE.
Just to see.
Costume designer Brenda Abandandolo. Music supervisor Laura Katz. Music by Michael Brook. The events, characters, and entities depicted in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead or to actual entities is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Any unauthorized exhibition, distribution, or reproduction of this motion picture or videotape, or any part thereof, including the soundtrack, may result in criminal penalties. Mother Productions Limited is the author of this motion picture for the purpose of copyright and other laws. Tallulah, copyright Mother Productions Incorporated, all rights reserved. Thank you. pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix,